Hello, everybody. My name is Steven Dutzman, and I am the founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com, and this is my ride to work. So here we are. It is Cyber Monday, and it is episode 17 of the EFG Daily Commute. And so, first off, since this podcast is obviously going up today, I do hope that you find some good deals today. There's gonna be plenty all over the place. I know GameStop sent out their flyer earlier on today, and people were pretty hyped about some of the pretty inexpensive games. So here's hoping that that you find what you are looking for. Because there's a lot of great stuff. And if you're looking for some advice on what games you should be targeting, or if you need to figure out whether or not a game is right for you, you can get a little bit of a blurb. You look at our holiday gift guide. We give some suggestions on some of the games that came out this year and recently. So definitely take a look there. So enough about that. Let's talk about our topic for today. And today's topic is Pokemon, but not what you might be thinking. So Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu have been out for a little over a week now. They came out last Friday, or the Friday before last, and they've been out, and we had the whole holiday weekend. And I have put about 12 hours into our copy of Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, which is not a lot by Pokemon standards. These are the kind of games that have a lot of staying power. However, I'm all in. I really enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun. What I find is that I am learning some of the Pokemon mechanics that I really haven't really delved into before. I've never been really good at figuring out like the type charts, and I'm really finding that I need to work on those because the trainer battles are a little bit more challenging, at least that I can see. So I'm being forced to learn those things. The good news is I talked to the boys, and we actually are going to create a whole bunch of content in the next year. I want to be at least a little bit defensive as far as my predictions, but our goal is to get that done so that there will be plenty of guides and plenty of information out there for when the new Pokemon game comes out, because Pokemon Gen 8 is coming next year. But the real reason that I wanted to talk about Pokemon is that there has been, and this is somewhat kind of splintering off and tangentially related from our discussion about user reviews. And if you remember, last week I put up an episode about user reviews, and I was really freaking out, and it just bothered me that people were review bombing Let's Go Pikachu because it wasn't like this hardcore thing. Now, I'm in a number of Facebook groups that are all video game related, and one of them is the Nintendo Voice Chat podcast forums. Nintendo Voice Chat is the IGN Nintendo podcast, and so I'm in the Facebook group that kind of lives around that podcast, and someone shared a meme that was essentially referencing a toxic Pokemon fan community that wants a children's game to be, harder and more hardcore and more mature. And there was a gentleman there who was defending, and that's absolutely true. There is a toxic community within the greater Pokemon landscape that is absolutely, that believes that Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee are like a betrayal of the Pokemon legacy, and that Pokemon has been around for 20 years and that it should be growing with its audience, and that it should be more challenge to the game, and that it should explore quote-unquote adult themes. Now, I'm going to ignore for a moment the fact that I don't really even know. Well, I'm not even going to ignore it. Let's just look at it right away. I don't even know what an adult theme in a Pokemon game would look like. These games already deal with some pretty intense stuff. There is, Cubone, wears its mother's skull on its head. There is almost all of the ghost Pokemon are ghosts for a reason, and their backstories involve some pretty dark stuff. On top of that, Pokemon is a game that lives in a world where 10-year-olds, literal 10-year-olds, like, it hit me while having this debate with this guy, because spoiler alert, I debated this guy, and that's what this episode is about. So children my middle child's age are sent out as these, like, child soldiers to capture wild, like, magical wild animals and leave them perpetually trapped inside computer systems. And when they're not perpetually trapped in these, you know, Pokeballs and stored in computers, they're used for sport as, like a dog fight. And, you know, like, if you really try and just remove the absurdity of it all, because the reality is Pokemon is kind of all about absurdity and embracing that just goofiness, and try and really think about what's happening, Pokemon is already super dark, and I don't think we need to, like, really address that, because I don't think that helps the game at all. Like, it doesn't really make the game better to think about those things, because when I think about what I'm doing, you know, like a funny story, Jake decided that he really wanted a shiny Pidgey. And so he figured out that, like, your catch combo is what makes it more likely to get, at least that's what we found, looked on the internet for, and he's like, okay, so if I get a big catch combo, that means I might be more likely to get a shiny Pidgey. And he's like, I want to see if I can get a shiny Pidgey before I really move into the actual game. And so he caught, like, 60-something Pidgeys. And so he was just, and thinking about what he was doing, this 10-year-old was essentially, like, just decimating this population of Pidgeys in this small area, like, likely capturing entire families of these things, trapping them in Pokeballs, and then sending them back to Professor Oak for experimentation, and Lord knows what happens to them. All he knows is that he gets candy. So, like, that's pretty dark, if you think about it, right? And so, I refuse to just even address, like, to even lean into that. Like, I don't know why we would want that. Beyond that, Pokemon is a children's property. Now, so, this gentleman was, you know, his stance was that he bought both copies of the Let's Go games. He enjoys them. He thinks they're great. He thinks that that the Pokemon Company should, and can, add some variety. Maybe every handful of years they should release a game that's like a side project that is deliberately intended to engage with the older Pokemon audience. And I thought that was absolutely nuts. And so here are some of my reasons. So the biggest issue is Pokemon is wildly successful. And, you know, so just going down the list of my rebuttals to this guy, is number one, like, there really is no reason to do that because Pokemon is not suffering. Like, as a franchise, Pokemon is only getting bigger. Kids love it. It has maintained its place in the world, for 20 years plus, right? And that's important because that means it has crossed the generational barrier. Like, there are a lot of things that are, like, a lot of people when Pokemon came out, they thought that it was going to be a fad, right? Like, oh, this is not going to be around for very long. You know, this will just be a fad. And, you know, so that means it lasts, like, less than a year. And there's some things that are a little bit bigger, right? But this is, it has become, it's come to the point where you know, people in my generation are sharing it with our children. And our children are all in. Like, the reality is, my sons are more into Pokemon than I ever was. And they know more about Pokemon, probably, than I ever will. And so, it has diffused through generations. So, as a result, I have a feeling Pokemon, if it just continues as it is right now, will probably never go away. You know, it will always be around in one way or another. So, it's not like they need to make these changes. It's not like they need to do something drastic to re-energize the fan base. Every time they put out a Pokemon game, they sell very well. You know, one could argue that they are making a drastic change by releasing games on a home console, because they're putting out Pokemon games on the Switch. And so, as a result, like, Pokemon Let's Go Eevee is ridiculously pretty, especially compared to the 3DS games that came out just a couple of years ago. So there's that, right? Like, I don't think that they need to make a drastic change. Pokemon has diffused generations. It is very successful. Now, he had a counterpoint, and I understand where that information comes from, is that sales for Pokemon games lifetime, you know, the most recent Pokemon games have all sold less than the original Game Boy games and the, you know, like on the DS, like, they've sold fewer copies as time has gone on. So I can understand why you could look at that and say, oh, well, Pokemon is in decline, so... why don't, you know, so that means they need to do something. My counterpoint to that is that handheld gaming, as on the whole, has been on a decline for the last 10 or 11 years because of the iPhone. Everyone played, you know, like, when I was a kid, parents bought Game Boys because you needed to have something to do in the doctor's office or on long car rides and things like that. Like, they bought that because that was kind of the neat thing to do. Now, so many parents just hand their kids their phone or get them their own phone. And that kind of replaced the, you know, the handheld market. Like, the 3DS has not sold as many as units as the DS, which is one of the best-selling consoles of all time. And, handheld gaming as a whole has kind of dropped. I mean, it sold the Pokemon Red and Blue and Yellow on the Game Boy, and then, you know, Gold and Silver on the Game Boy Color. Like, those were, without question, like, the best games on that system. When you account for Tetris being kind of magical, right? But, like, they're the best games on that system. So, like, everybody had them. Because that was, like, the default. It's like, oh, you get a Game Boy, you get a Pokemon game. That's just what you did. The DS, it was not that way. And so, yeah, it has declined. But these games have exceeded expectations from the Pokemon Company in recent years. Like, they're not unhappy with the performance of these games. They all sell great, they sell fast, and people are generally, and they're critically well received. It's not like the Pokemon Company is sitting there sweating, saying, oh my goodness, our review scores are dropping and no one's buying the game anymore, what are we going to do? That's when you reinvent things. You know, it's kind of like everybody wonders, you know, everybody thinks Call of Duty is going to, like, fall off a cliff, but the reality is every year that there isn't a Rockstar game like Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty is the highest selling game of the year. They don't really need to come up with anything crazy and new. They just need to keep executing on what they are doing. So that's the money bit. I just don't think that they need to panic to try and make money. Now, the next piece is, if it's a side project, which is what his suggestion was, that this is, you know, once every 4 or 5 years, they spin up a team, they make a smaller game that addresses these things. That means it's not going to be a high-end Pokemon game, which means it's not going to have new Pokemon. It's not going to necessarily have new, you know, it's not going to necessarily kind of push that Pokemon formula forward, and it might not look as great. And it might, they might have to make experiments with the game, do experiments with the gameplay. And this vocal, toxic minority that wants this game, they're not, I don't believe, going to say, okay, well, this is a side project that they're doing just to make us happy, so we're good with with making concessions on graphics and gameplay and sound. That's not how this works. Toxic communities are not reasonable. They want a full-on next-gen Pokemon game that is, pardon me clapping in front of my phone, they want a full-on next-gen Pokemon game that is ready. You know, like, that is just what they remember getting, but targeted directly at them. And that doesn't make sense. That's not what would happen anyway. You know, like, they dedicate their true, like, quote-unquote, you know, AAA effort on their mainline Pokemon games. And there have been side projects, right? You know, but they're never the same. You know, it might be farmed out to a different team, or, you know, maybe using, you know, reusing assets and things like that. It would be, and, you know, if they were making that change, they would likely, I mean, in this hypothetical scenario, they would be trying to create this project without expending what are their limited resources. Now, his counterpoint to that is that they have enough money, both Nintendo and the Pokemon Company, to create a team and get it done and do it at a high quality. And I have no rebuttal for that. Nintendo could buy a spaceship if they wanted. I mean, they have a lot of money. That's not really in question. But they're a business, not an independently wealthy individual who just kind of creates what they want. They have shareholders, and they have expectations to meet, and they spend their money with the intention of trying to make a lot more of it back, right? Like, they want to, they take big swings. They make a Pokemon game, they spend, you know, $10 million making it or whatever. Their goal is to make way more than it back. They don't want to just make 10 million. They want to make a lot. They want 50 million. You know what I mean? That's how business works. That's how game development is. They don't try and, you know, this isn't an art studio that is saying, okay, we're going to spend $100,000 on a game and we want to make $100,000 back, and as long as we do that, we'll be happy. No, that's not what they are doing. Nintendo and the Pokemon Company, this is a franchise that makes billions of dollars and is worth billions of dollars. So they're not going to mess around. And there's a lot of stakeholders, right? Like, Game Freak makes the Pokemon games, but the IP is owned by the Pokemon Company, and Nintendo owns a share as well. That's three companies that need to deal with all this. Not to mention, I'm sure they have subcontractors and things like that. This is not an easy pie to split. So, they could, absolutely. They could make whatever they want. They could have Pikachu be a guest character in Mortal Kombat. I mean, they have the money. They could do whatever they wanted. It just doesn't necessarily make sense. And that brings me to my next thought, which is, you know, there's really no upside to this. You know, he said, you know, they sell a lot of Pokemon games. And his theory is that this, like, M-rated game would, you know, and I don't know if he was implying M-rated, but this adult-focused Pokemon game would, you know, would sell a lot of copies. And my rebuttal is that I'm sure it would sell, and it would very likely sell well, right? But there's kind of two audiences for Pokemon. There are the informed audience, right, which is me, you know, people listening to this podcast, people that know what they are buying. And that we all know, right? Like, there are whole, you know, there's people that know what they're buying and people that just buy stuff. We know what we're buying. We will say, okay, I'm going to make an educated decision on whether or not this is a Pokemon game that I want my kids to play. Maybe it's just hard, and I'm okay with that. You know, my sons need a challenge, I'm fine. I'll get them a hard Pokemon game. But, like, this exploring some of these mature themes, you know, like, that could be problematic, and perhaps I say, you know what, I don't, you know, the downside is they make a game, and I say, I'm out. And we don't buy it. Here's the potential risk for that. And anytime they make significant changes in that direction, my family bought 4 copies of Pokemon Sun and Moon combined. We're probably going to end up getting a 5th now that Megan is in DS land, right? Like, now that she's going to have a 3DS, we are likely going to be buying a fifth copy of Pokemon Sun and Moon. And we bought 2 copies of Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, right? So, like, but those 4 games amounted for what will be likely 7 purchases in our house. And Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are more or less just kind of 1.5 versions, right, of those original games. So that's a lot of revenue that came from just our family. And we know there are a lot of other people that are like us, right, that buy multiple copies of both games. And Evan asked for a copy of Moon for himself at one point, right? Like, there are plenty of people who buy lots of Pokemon games. So, if we decided to opt out of a Pokemon generation because we were concerned about content, and I'm using us as hypotheticals, and we bought 0, that's a significant loss. And a lot of these adults that want this, they're not going to buy 7 copies of this game to make up for that potential loss revenue. And Nintendo knows that. And I don't even think that's the biggest potential loss, right? Because maybe we would buy it. Maybe we'd find a way to excuse it, and we would do it. Because we're informed gamers, you know, whatever, we can talk about it. And depending on what they did, maybe we would just find a way to stomach it. And maybe we wouldn't buy 7 copies, but, you know, maybe we'd buy, you know, 2. One for the 2 boys that are really not just casual fans, that they're all in. Sure. Maybe we'd buy a 3rd one for me because I was curious, right? So maybe it wouldn't go all the way down. But that second category is there are a lot of parents who don't necessarily know what they're buying, but they know what they're buying at the same time. Like, Pokemon is a well-known commodity, right? Like, when a parent sees Mickey Mouse in a cartoon, they immediately know, especially if it's officially sponsored by Disney, that it's going to be cool for their kids to watch. And that has always been the case. Mickey Mouse they protect that brand, right? Like, they spend millions of dollars protecting that brand and making sure that nobody puts out Mickey Mouse content that is not appropriate, because making sure that they put out Mickey Mouse content that is appropriate. Every frame of animation that has Mickey Mouse in it is reviewed and re-reviewed. Every script that includes Mickey Mouse is reviewed and re-reviewed. This is one of the reasons why Kingdom Hearts is such a weird miracle, because Mickey doesn't fight people often, right? Like, it is always in very measured, very carefully calculated situations. And here he is, like, Mickey Mouse is wearing, like, a black trench coat, dual-wielding swords. Like, super weird, right? And part of that is because Disney is so good at protecting their brands. That's one of the reasons why, you know, they buy all these properties. Like, they're really good at protecting what they have. The Pokemon Company is the same way. Licensing Pokemon products is not easy, right? They are protective of that brand because so many parents, they see Pikachu, and they say, okay, it's Pikachu. It's going to be fine because it's Pikachu. Maybe they don't know Pikachu's name. Maybe they know it's Pokemon, and they know by default it is okay for my kids. If they put out like an edgier Pokemon game, parents would buy it. And the first time they saw whatever that, and again, this is a problem, right? Like, I don't even know what edgy Pokemon content looks like. But the first time they saw it, or the first time, you know, little Timmy or little Sarah shows mom the Pokemon that's like lying on the ground lifeless and bleeding or something, who knows, they would be really mad. And the phrase, it's a tired cliche, but I'm going to use it here. It's like once bitten, twice shy. There will be parents who will see that. Now, I know people are listening to this, might be listening to this and going, but Steve, their parents would buy their kids Call of Duty every year. Well, those aren't the parents I'm talking about. There are lots of parents who they see Pokemon, they view it as universally kid-appropriate fare. If they find a game, if they end up buying a Pokemon game and then seeing content in it that they don't approve of, it will question everything. And I know for a fact, because I have spoken to some of these types of parents, there will be parents who will ban Pokemon 100% from their house without looking to say, oh, well, this was a side project. They're not going to Google in and be like, oh, they just made an edgy Pokemon. All the other ones are fine. They're going to go back and they're going to second guess everything. All those Pokemon games are going to be given away to another cousin, thrown out, sold at work, etc. And then that kid, not a Pokemon fan anymore. And that is damage to the brand. So, yeah, I mean, and that was my, that's the real danger. They could afford to take a hit and maybe take a chance and roll dice. Maybe it could turn into this big thing. But the potential long-term damage to Pokemon as a children's brand is something that I don't think that they are willing to risk. So, if you disagree with me, that's fine. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm going to be sharing this in the Engage Family Gaming community. You can get there by going to engagefamilygaming.com/community. Share with me, you know, why you disagree. And frankly, if you do agree, and maybe I missed a point, I'd love to hear, you know, different flavors of agreement. Because, you know, this is, you know, probably content that I will have to create at some point. Like an open letter to the grown-up Pokemon fandom or, you know, something like that. So, please, I'd love to hear your thoughts. And like I said, I'll be sharing this in the community. So I do hope that you all have a wonderful day. I will be back tomorrow, and we'll be talking about something else. So thank you very much for joining me on my ride to work. I hope you have a great day, and don't forget to get your family game on. See you soon. Bye.